So today we will have Hungary's speaking Latin Bhagavati in the enlightening of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Very wonderful presentation by Her Grace. Thank you, Mata Priti Vilasin Mataji. Please take over the call.
Hare Krishna Kamurake Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thanks for the very warm welcome and thanks to everyone for joining the session. So we are going, I have gone live. If you want the link, I can send it.
I cannot see the live class.
Oh, actually, I am not on video, Mataji. I am just going to send YouTube link. The video is jammed for today. From next session, I'll come on the video as well. I'm just sending link so that if you want to follow, you can follow on YouTube. If you feel the voice's quality is better on YouTube.
Okay.
So, from next session again.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for joining.
So, yes, it's very low, Mataji.
It's low? Okay. Now it's better. Now it's better. Is it better? Or is this better, Mataji?
Yeah, a little bit better. If you can hang in the mind.
Yes,
this is better.
Mataji, your voice is okay, but I request everyone to please keep their phones on mute.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Okay.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point where Narada Muni, he left Kim Purusha Loka and he raced off to Hastinapur to see the Pandavas as suggested by Hanuman. So that is where we stopped in our previous session. I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanatha Swami Nitinamne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaiva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to see from Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita and today is session 16. And we stopped at a point where Narada Muni left Kim Purusha Loka and he raced off to Hastinapur to see the Pandavas as it was suggested by Sri Hanuman. So in the Mahabharata story, after the annihilation of Duryodhana's army in Kurukshetra, Yudhishthir, who was the eldest of the Pandavas, took over the kingdom and he began ruling Hastinapur. So therefore, Narada Muni at this point in time, he decided to go to Hastinapur to actually meet the Pandavas. So just before Narada had arrived there at the palace gates of Hastinapur, Yudhishthira along with his brothers, he was sitting in the assembly hall and he was deliberating on how to induce Krishna to come to Hastinapur somehow or the other. So the Pandavas, they always wanted Krishna to be with them. When Krishna went to Dwaraka, leaving the Pandavas would be plunged in sadness. They would long to have the association of Krishna. So at this point in time, Yudhishthir, along with his brothers, he was sitting and he was discussing how to bring Krishna somehow or the other to Hastinapur. So one idea that they had was to send Bhima or someone else to bring the Lord to Hastinapur in the pretext of an Ashwamedha sacrifice. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was known for his elaborate sacrifices. So Bhima and others, they were planning, why not we do an Ashwamedha sacrifice? And in the pretext of doing an Ashwamedha sacrifice, somehow or the other, we can call the Lord to come over here. But then they thought, to do a sacrifice like Ashwamedha, of such a great caliber, one must make very elaborate preparations. And this elaborate preparations would take a very long time. They wanted to see Krishna as soon as possible. So doing this Ashwamedha sacrifice would actually delay Krishna coming to Hastinapur as soon as possible. So they thought, okay, let's scrap out this idea. And then they had another idea. The next proposal was to ask Krishna for help to defend Hastinapur from enemies. Because they always knew that whenever they were in some problem, whenever the Pandavas were in trouble, somehow or the other, Krishna would come there to save them. So they were thinking, okay, let's create a situation where, because at that point in time in Hastinapur, there was actually no threat that was there because Yudhishthira was reinstated in the throne and everything was very nice for them. There were no enemies at that time. But artificially, they were thinking, let's create some kind of an artificial threat to the city of Hastinapur so that Krishna comes running to save us. So the Pandavas, like this, they were scheming in different ways to somehow or the other to bring Krishna in their association. So in general, it is said that the devotees of the Lord, they encounter two kinds of danger. Okay, there are two kinds of dangers devotees of the Lord encounter. Now, this is very interesting. One danger is created by the Lord himself so that the devotees take intense shelter of the Lord and surrenders himself. And why does he do that? This is just to proclaim the greatness of the devotees of the Lord. So we all know whenever the Pandavas were put in trouble, the Pandavas would very lovingly take shelter of Krishna and they would surrender themselves completely to Krishna. And because of this, their glories are celebrated in various scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. And even to this day, we all glorify the Pandavas. We all talk about the surrender of the Pandavas. So that is one kind of danger. The Lord induces the danger. The other kind of danger is actually simulated by the Lord's devotees themselves. Why would the devotees create danger for themselves? That is because they can really see him fast. Because sometimes devotees become very, very anxious to see the Lord somehow or the other. And for that reason, they begin to induce danger. So one example of this, besides this situation that we are talking about, is the story of how actually Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki. So it is described that Narada Muni, he purposely went and met Kamsa before Krishna's appearance so that he could stir up some real-time action. So according to Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they quote from Harivamsa Purana. They say, when Kamsa wanted to wait till the eighth child of Devaki was born and then kill him, Narada Muni, he went to see Kamsa. He went to see Kamsa in his palace and Kamsa received him very well. And Narada went there with a plan. So Narada went there and he informed Kamsa that any one of the eight children of Devaki might be Vishnu. So you should not spare any child. So this is artificially inducing danger. Why? Because Narada was telling Kamsa that anyhow, Vishnu is the one who is going to kill you. Now, how do you know which one is the eighth child? So you should not spare any of Devaki's children. So Narada's intention here was that Kamsa, by killing all these children, would increase his sinful activities so that Krishna would appear as soon as possible and kill him. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also mentions why Narada Muni came and advised Kamsa. Narada Muni came and advised Kamsa actually for 9 different reasons, he says. He says 9 different reasons. What are these 9 different reasons? The first one is, Narada wanted to derive personal joy by seeing his Lord very soon. He was waiting for the appearance of Krishna. So he was thinking, if you know the sinful activities of this Kamsa are increasing by killing all the children, Krishna will appear soon. So Narada wanted to derive personal joy by seeing the Lord. The second reason was to give joy to the demigods by provoking Kamsa. Then third reason, he knew that by committing violence against devotees, it will hasten the Lord's advent, because the Lord cannot tolerate any torture against his devotees. So Narada Muni was thinking, by inducing Kamsa to kill these children as soon as possible, Krishna will appear very, very fast. The fourth reason given was because he wanted to accomplish the slaying of Kamsa. Fifth, to shower himself in the intense devotion of Vasudeva and Devaki, Narada wanted to get their blessings by delivering to them the confirmation of Krishna's appearance very soon. The sixth reason was to increase their eagerness to see the Lord, increase Devaki and Vasudeva's eagerness to see the Lord. Seventh, to drown them in an ocean of bliss by cutting down their doubts whether the Lord would really appear or not. Eighth reason was to please Devaki and Vasudeva by making them blissful even in these circumstances of suffering. Nine, to make Kamsa favorable to himself by presenting false friendship. That is, to make Kamsa favorable to Narada Muni by going in front of him and presenting false friendship. Like this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives 9 reasons why Narada Muni went and spoke to Kamsa. But the chief reason was to hasten the process of Krishna's appearance, because the devotees are all waiting to see Krishna in some way or the other. So Narada Muni went to the extent of creating some commotion. So like this, the devotees of the Lord, they don't mind danger. They don't mind danger, whether it is induced by the Lord himself or whether they themselves artificially induce the danger. So like this, the Pandavas, they were discussing in the assembly and they were scheming. Somehow or the other, they wanted to bring Krishna there. And correctly, when Narada Muni appeared at the door of Yudhishthir's palace, Yudhishthir was informed by the guards that the sage Narada had come there. So at that time, Yudhishthir immediately, he stood up with his mother, his wife and his brothers, and they rushed forward to receive Narada Muni at the doors. Now Narada Muni, he was so happy to see the Pandavas. So he lovingly came forward and he bowed down in front of the Pandavas. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, with all his love, he brought Narada Muni into the assembly hall, and with great effort, he made him accept a seat of honor. So he was the king, Yudhishthir was the king, and he wanted to offer an opulent worship for Narada Muni. In fact, he was the emperor. So imagine the amount of riches that Yudhishthir Maharaj had at that time. So he wanted to offer a very, very opulent worship for his Narada Muni, his revered sage Narada Muni. But then Narada Muni, instead, what he did was, he grabbed these items of worship that Yudhishthir was presenting, and he started to worship Yudhishthir, Yudhishthira's brothers, his associates, and even Yudhishthir Maharaj's servants. So, as Parikshit was excitedly telling the story to his mother, Uttara, Uttara became so excited that in her natural pride on hearing the account of her close relatives, she became extremely pleased in heart. She was so happy. Because it is natural, right? When our relatives or when our close associates are glorified, we feel great happiness. So Uttara, as she was hearing the story from her dear son Parikshit about her relatives, about her, about the Pandavas being, being so magnanimous, receiving Narada Muni like this, she became extremely happy. So then, in Yudhishthira's palace, Narada Muni, he began playing his veena, and he chanted in length about the glories of the Pandavas. How these Pandavas are the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy, because in detail he had heard about their glories from the mouth of Hanuman. So Narada told Yudhishthir, you are actually the most fortunate. You are Bhagyavan. And your worship of Krishna is exceptionally exalted. He said, you Pandavas, you are so fortunate that Krishna has descended on this earth at this time. And performing devotion to the Lord is actually easiest on the earth planet, because there are minimum distractions as compared to the distractions that we see in the heavenly realms. Right? In the heavenly realms, there is so much, there's so much distraction, so much opulence. But on the earthly planet, it is so much easier. So he told the Pandavas, although you're so richly endowed with all kinds of opulence, your primary focus is always Devaki Nandan Krishna. You're always thinking of Krishna. Somehow or the other, you want Krishna to be with you. On your thoughts, it is one and only one person who is Krishna. So he said, O Pandavas, you are most fortunate. You are even more fortunate than Brahma or Rudra or all the other demigods. And Lord Krishna is your best friend. And you worship Krishna as your master. You worship Krishna as the Lord of Lords. You consider him your protector, as your master. Sometimes Krishna also acts as your spiritual master and protector. And Krishna, he's so special. How is he related to you all? He's your maternal cousin. It is actually said that amongst our cousins, we are naturally closer to our maternal cousins. Because in general, we are attached more to our mother's side relatives. This is something that many of you might have felt at many points in time, that generally we tend to be closer to our mother's side relatives. So therefore, here Narada Muni was praising Yudhishthira and his brother, saying that Krishna is your maternal cousin. So therefore, naturally, the love for Krishna is actually intensified in your case. So Krishna was connected to the Pandavas as he was the son of Vasudeva, and Pritha or Kunti was the sister of Vasudeva. So it was natural that the Pandavas were very, very attached to Krishna. Because Krishna was the son of the brother of their mother. So therefore, the Pandavas' attachment was kind of very, very natural and it was very intense. So Krishna, sometimes he became the Pandavas' messenger. Like when the Pandavas were in the kingdom of Virata, at that time, Krishna went as a messenger to Duryodhan's court. He's also a very great well-wisher of the Pandavas. He's Suhrit. Suhrit means actually well-wisher. So Krishna would be the well-wisher of Pandavas without expecting anything in return. And actually speaking, Krishna is not only the Suhrit of the Pandavas, he's also the Suhrit of everyone. Right? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself proclaims, he says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Nyatva Mam Shantim Richati. So a person who is in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. This is Bhagavad Gita 5.28. So he is Sukhridam. He is Sukhridam Sarvabhutanam. But in the case of Pandavas, he was even more a greater well-wisher because the Pandavas were unalloyed devotees. So Krishna was extremely close to them, and whatever he did for the Pandavas was something he did without any expectation. He had no expectation from the Pandavas. And Krishna is also described as Ukti Tantra. Ukti Tantra means he is subordinate to the words of his devotees. He is an order carrier, you know, of the Pandavas. So Ukti Tantra is a polite synonym for the word servant or sevaka or servitor. So when we say Krishna is the sevaka, it doesn't sound good, right? Like it's say, because we are the, you know, we are the servants of the Lord. When we say, oh, Krishna is the servant of someone, it doesn't sound good. So a polite synonym of this word is Ukti Tantra. It is specially used to describe the Lord's glories when he becomes submissive to his devotees. So like this, Krishna was acting as Suhrat, he was acting as Ukti Tantra, and he was also sometimes acting as Arjuna's charioteer. So not only was Krishna their worshipable lord, but Krishna was their intimate friend, and the Pandavas had very pure, unalloyed love for Krishna. So, for, you know, Krishna is very, very difficult to understand. He's got so many glories, so many glories. He's extremely difficult to understand, even for the demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Many demigods, theoretically, they can understand the supremacy of Krishna. But to taste unalloyed Krishna prema, actually that is extremely difficult. So if you go through the Vedic texts, you'll see that it is full of ritualistic activities and mantras. But the description of Krishna and his all-attractive charm, that is not very obvious in the Vedic texts. To understand the hidden purport of all these Vedic scriptures, it is extremely difficult without the mercy of the Lord's devotees. So, jnanis, the impersonalists, they are generally after the Brahman understanding, after the impersonal understanding of the Lord. But Vaishnavas, they worship the Supreme Lord in his personal form. And there are many devotees of the Lord who worship him in his different avatars, like Narasimha, Vamana, Ramachandra, and so on. And each one has their own Ishtadev. Now, in spite of this angry form of Lord Narsingadev, there are devotees like Prahlad who love him so much. And of course, there are many devotees of Lord Ramachandra who adore him so much because he was the perfect monarch. But Krishna is very, very special because he is just not an avatar, but he is an avatari. He is not just an incarnation. Krishna exhibits all the potencies. None of the other incarnations actually exhibit all the potencies that Krishna exhibits. Therefore, the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Ete Chamsakalapumsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the source. He is the source of all incarnations. The original personality of Godhead. Ete Chamsakalapumsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indriyadi Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions. Krishna is the most complete. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, the Paribhasha Sutra of the entire scripture. So Krishna is Ras Raj, he is Akila Rasamrita Murti. All the rasas are complete in Krishna. So all other incarnations like Matsya, Kurma, they all manifest Krishna's potency, but less, in a much lesser extent than what it is manifested in Krishna. Prithu Maharaj and other Jivas are also empowered incarnations of the Lord. There are Guna avatars of the Lord like Shiva and Brahma. But Krishna is complete. He is topmost and he is the source of all the incarnations. Even Maya Devi, the controller of this material universe, she is actually subordinate to the Lord. And she attends the Lord like a maid servant. All the Leela avatars of the Lord are very, very special. And of all these incarnations, actually, Krishna is considered the sweetest. Why? Because he is full of rasa. So, and all these incarnations, they take their source in Krishna. So, just like how Krishna is the topmost, he is the most complete, similarly, the devotees of Krishna are actually much more superior. So, the Pandavas are more superior to Hanuman or more superior to Prahlad or more superior to Bali Maharaj. So, this is the realization that Narada was sharing at this point in time when he was glorifying Yudhishthir and his brothers. So, he was telling the Pandavas, you are not ordinary. You are the devotees of Krishna and therefore you are certainly very, very special. So actually Krishna, he never reveals himself so easily to everyone, you know, in his original form. To see his original form, it is very, very rare. Actually, even before he appeared 5,000 years ago, when the demigods went and they prayed for Krishna to appear, even then he didn't directly and openly reveal himself to the demigods right away. So before Krishna's appearance on this planet, when Brahma and the demigods, they saw that Mother Earth was lamenting towards the end of the Dwapara Yuga, and when Kamsa's atrocities were out of control, Brahma and the demigods, they went to the ocean of milk where Shirodakshayi Vishnu resides. Generally, that's where they go to pray for the Lord to incarnate. So they went to the shores of this ocean and they began to recite the Purusha Sukta prayers for the pleasure of the Lord, and they fixed their internal and external senses on the Lord. But after all this, you know, it appeared that there was no sign of his satisfaction. So they were thinking maybe because of this mechanical meditation, it is not a very effective means of achieving personal association of the Lord. However, though the Lord didn't come out and give them personal association, the Lord, seeing their sincerity, he gave the demigods an answer. But then he did not answer them in person. Brahma, he heard the Lord's instructions in the core of his heart, and the voice in the sky from an unknown speaker, it told Brahma that he would soon incarnate. So therefore in the Srimad Bhagavatam we see, you know, in Canto 10, Chapter 1, verses 21 to 24, it talks about how Brahma heard the voice and he relayed the message to the demigods that Krishna would soon appear. So I'll just read these verses so that we can revise the beginning of the 10th canto before Krishna appeared. So 10.1.21 says, while in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Shirodakshayi Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without any delay. Lord Brahma told the demigods, before we submitted a petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions and sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. So the voice from the sky, which was Shirodakshayi Vishnu's voice, told the demigods that they should all appear as the associates of Krishna in the family of the Yadus. Then the voice said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency. Shirodakshayi Vishnu is very clear. He's saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who's complete in all potency, will appear very soon as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarsana, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarsana, Balarama, will appear as Baladeva just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Lord, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both the material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. So in these few verses, we see how clearly Shirodakshayi Vishnu was informing about the full potency of Krishna, how this original Balarama, whose Shankarsana is actually the origin of all the incarnations within this material world, and he also talks about the potency Vishnu Maya, who comes down with him and who serves him in different capacities. So like this, Krishna, he is the source. And when Krishna appeared in response to the prayers of the demigods, we shouldn't conclude that Krishna appeared just as another avatar of Narayan. Actually, Garga Muni himself, he states that, you know, when he went for the Namakarna of Krishna, he specifically states that this child is as good as Narayana. The pastimes of Narayana in Vaikuntha, the puppets there, the personal pastimes, somewhat resemble Krishna. But the leelas of Vaikuntha are actually no match to the charm and intimacy of Krishna's sports that happen in Goloka Vrindavan. Narada said, this Krishna, he is the original source of all incarnations, and he is actually submitted himself to your control. He's telling the Pandavas, he, Krishna, he has submitted himself to your control. So all the world-renowned sages like myself, with all the sadhana, all the self-control, we just have some hope, very small hope of achieving the Lord's mercy. But you Pandavas, without any such spiritual austerity, you have easily achieved Krishna's favor and you have brought Krishna under your control. The same thing Narada Muni also said in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw this in our previous session when we were talking about Prahlad. Narada Muni specifically said that Yudhishthir was in no way less than the exalted Prahlad. In the verses, you know, the canto 7, chapter 10, verses 48 to 50. He specifically states this. So Narada explained, one may ask, if Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and if Krishna is the very embodiment of the Supreme Brahman, why does he get attached to 16,108 queens, so many queens? And why does he obey religious principles? Why does he do all this if he is the Supreme Lord? But the answer is that no one can really understand who Krishna is. Even great mystics and demigods, they just fail to describe the beauty of a single limb of Krishna. So Narada said, if such exalted personalities cannot describe Krishna, then what can someone like me, what can I do? I cannot describe a fragment of Krishna's glories. Actually, the Supreme Lord does not live in Prahlad's house. Therefore, the sages, they don't go and visit Prahlad's home. But the Supreme Lord, he is the maternal cousin of the Pandavas. And he lives with them. He comes and visits them like a simple human being. So the Pandavas are surely much more fortunate than anyone else. They are much more fortunate than me. They are much more fortunate than the sages. They are much more fortunate than the demigods, Prahlad and all other devotees. Because the source, the most complete of all, the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is their maternal cousin. So next, after he described all this, he said, Narada said, you know, Krishna is so wonderful. See, you see, Narada, first he began to glorify Yudhishthir and his brothers. But then as he began to speak, his focus slowly moved towards his worshipable Lord Krishna. You see, now he begins to glorify Krishna, the supreme position of Krishna, how Krishna is so sweet. You know, he goes on and on and on talking about Krishna. So next, Narada, he continued to talk about the unique mercy given only by Lord Krishna. So before Krishna appeared on earth, the previous incarnations of the Lord, they only gave liberation to a qualified few. So many times the demons killed by the Lord, by the other incarnations of the Lord, they had to take birth again so that they could further purify themselves. Examples are given like Kalanemi, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana Kumbhakarna. All of them, they were killed by the Supreme Lord, by different forms of the Supreme Lord. But none of them achieved liberation immediately. There were so many other daityas throughout scriptures. If you read, there are so many daityas and danavas who met death in the hands of the Lord, but they were not given liberation immediately. Eventually they were liberated, but not immediately. Actually, it was only during the pastimes of Krishna that many of them received liberation really, really fast, immediately. Also, more rarely was pure devotion given by the Lord. You know, only during Krishna's time was pure devotion given even to demons. That is very, very rare. So, in the previous incarnations, we see in some rare cases, like Prahlad Maharaj, pure devotion was given And even according to Prahlad's own testimony, he says that his own devotion was somewhat mixed with a tendency to cultivate knowledge. So if you see, even in the previous incarnations, very pure devotion was not easily awarded. It was given to some extent, but not like how it was simply given in wholesale when Krishna had appeared. So one such incarnation that gave pure devotion was Lord Narsimhadev. He gave pure devotion to Prahlad. But then according to Prahlad's own testimony, he said that his devotion was not really, really so pure. He said it was somewhat mixed with the tendency to cultivate knowledge. Then Lord Ramachandra incarnated. Ramachandra gave pure devotion to a few of them. Like, he gave pure devotion to Guha, he gave devotion to Hanuman. Of course, he gave pure devotion to Hanuman, to Jambavan, to Vibhishan, Dasharath, to Sugriva, and so many other associates. So, when Ram appeared, other than the eternal associates of Ram, like Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna, Sita, they were all eternal associates. There were also other Jivas who attained pure devotion to the Lord, like Guha and others. But then we never hear of prema. We don't hear of the topmost level, the ultimate stage of pure devotion, like the gopis, you know. We don't hear that in Ramchandra's leelas. But in the case of Krishna, many devotees who even came in casual contact with him actually attained very, very pure devotion to Krishna. What to speak of liberation. So the Pandavas should not imagine themselves to be bereft of these benefits. Narada Muni was saying, you are very, very special. Why? Because you are devotees of Krishna. So therefore, don't consider yourself to be any less than the other devotees. Because Krishna is very special. Krishna simply gives pure love. You know, just like that, he gave pure love. Just like that, he gave liberation. What to talk of Krishna's directly killing demons? Even the associates of Krishna who killed many demons, those demons killed by the associates of Krishna actually either attained impersonal or personal liberation. Now this appears too much, right? See, if someone is killed by the hands of the Lord, obviously they are going to attain liberation. But then just imagine the mercy that Krishna was giving. Is that even the demons who were killed by the hands of Krishna's associates, they were attaining liberation. So is there any proof for that? Yes, Srimad Bhagavatam declares this. I will read the verse. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Verses 34 and 35. The verse goes like this. All demoniac personalities like Pralamba, Dhenuka, Baka, Keshi, Arishta, Chanura, Mushtika, Kuvalayapida, the elephant, Kamsa, Kalyavana, Narakasura, and Poundraka, great marshals like Shalva, Dvivida monkey, and Balwala, Dantavakra, the seven bulls, Shambara, Vidurata, and Rukmi, as also great warriors like Kamboja, Matsya, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Kekeya, who all fight vigorously, either with Lord Hari directly or with him under his names of Baladeva, Arjuna, Bhima, etc. And the demons thus being killed would attain either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or his personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. This is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, either directly killed by Krishna or indirectly killed by Krishna, through his associates. Actually, Krishna is only killing. He's just using them as instruments. Even these demons, either attained impersonal liberation or personal liberation in different Vaikuntha planets. So about awarding pure devotion to the Lord, sages like Vishwamitra, very, very austere sage, Gautama, he was an expert chanter of Vedic mantras, and Vasishta, he was a deep knower of very good philosophy. All these sages, prior to meeting Krishna, they were not exactly pure devotees. Actually, they were after mundane religiosity, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But after they personally met Krishna in Kurukshetra, you know what they went and told Krishna? they submitted a request to Krishna. The request was that they wanted to become pure devotees of the Lord. So in the purport, Srila Sridhara Swami, he explains that when the sages saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, they realized that seeing this form of Krishna was the ultimate reward for all accumulated religious activities that they had done. So now that they saw Krishna, they went to Krishna and they told them, they went and asked Krishna, now you please give us this ultimate benediction of pure devotional service. We have gone through all the different formats of religiosity, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, everything, all these years. We have gone through all this. We have done enough austerities. Now we ask you, give us this ultimate benediction of pure devotional service that is not attained by the impersonalists, that is only attained by unalloyed devotees. We want to become such unalloyed devotees. So these great sages, when they saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, they went and gave him this petition. So that's how when Krishna was present, he was simply transforming everybody. These sages have been around for so long time, right? But only after seeing Krishna, they had this realization and they went and they submitted this petition. Actually, when Krishna appeared, even the plant life like trees and creepers, which are generally covered by the mode of ignorance, were uplifted to the mode of pure goodness. So plant life is understood to be in the mode of ignorance because they lose their power of active senses. Like you, we all know, right, the consciousness level of plants is certainly much lesser than you see in animals. They lose their power of active senses. They are in the mode of ignorance. The trees and plants of Hastinapur, whenever Krishna used to visit and glance at them, they would rain down a nectar of sap of Krishna Prema, it is described. The plants of Hastinapur, although covered by the mode of ignorance, flourished by the sidelong glance of Krishna, achieved the highest treasure. The plants were raised to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. They manifested sattvika ecstasies of being stunned, hair standing on ends, etc. They rained tears of love, disguised as sweet sap as they constantly rain down. That means the plants, when Krishna used to glance at them, they would rain down sap from their bark. You know, that liquid that comes out from the bark of the trees. That was equivalent to these plants showing these ecstasies of sattvika ecstasies. You know, they would become stunned. They would, you know, flow down sap, their hairs would stand on end, the leaves would stand on end like that, just by seeing Krishna. So these plants, from the mode of ignorance, they were raised to the mode of Shuddha Sattva. So however, this was for the plants and trees in Hastinapur. However, we don't apply the same formula to the plants and trees of Vrindavan. Reason being, the plants and trees of Vrindavan are already transcendental. They are not covered by the mode of ignorance. They are anyhow, you know, they are already in that mode of Shuddha Sattva. So we apply this formula only for the plants and trees of Hastinapur. And it is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular verse that I read, that the trees in Hastinapur, they were raining down sap of Krishna Prema when Krishna glanced at them. So Narada, in a flow, he was talking about the glories of Krishna. He went on and on and on. And then Narada cried out, "Hey Krishna's brothers," he was calling the Pandavas, "Hey Krishna's brothers, you have realized all these truths and you are the most fortunate among all human beings. And do you know exactly why is liberation and pure devotion more easily obtained from Krishna than any other incarnation? Do you know the reason? It is because this beauty of Krishna and his all attractive features are not seen by anyone else. It is so hard to describe perfectly the beauty of Krishna. This form of Krishna leaves one struck with amazement. Not just his form, but his pastimes, his pure love, his qualities, his virtues, and the places where he sports. Everything is so sweet and it is filled with rasa. Everything Krishna does is so playful. It is full of varieties and great virtues like compassion is all and is all perfect nature. You are simply wonderful. Krishna is so wonderful. His submission to his devotee is so sweet. Vrindavan Dham, where he sports, attracts the heart of everyone. So like this, Narada Muni was talking about the special glories of Krishna. And what is that? We all know the extra four qualities of Krishna that make him more special than Narayan. That actually makes him Akila Rasamrita Murti. What are those extra four qualities? It is Rupa Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Venu Madhuri and Bhakta Madhuri. Krishna's exotic, most beautiful transcendental form, the three curve bending form that Krishna exhibits, the Shyam Sundara Rupa, that is not seen in any other incarnation. Leela Madhuri, the sweetness in Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's childhood pastimes are the sweetest. No other incarnation has ever exhibited such sweetness in pastimes. Krishna's Venu Madhuri, his playing of the flute, no other incarnation has exhibited. And his Bhakta Madhuri, that is the sweetness of the devotees who are associated with Krishna. Krishna is surrounded by the most exalted devotees who exchange such pure loving relationships with Krishna. No other incarnation has seen so many rasas. So therefore, Narada Muni was describing Krishna as the most wonderful. If Krishna had not descended in his original form in this world, we wouldn't have known the true identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the utmost Supreme Personality of Godhead? We wouldn't have known this if Krishna had not descended in his original form. Krishna advanced only once in a day of Brahma. His original identity was long forgotten by the sages. You know, all these years, the sages before Krishna had appeared 5,000 years ago, they didn't know this original personality of Godhead. This identity was forgotten. But then when Krishna appeared and he showed the full glories and the full variegated wonders of the Lord, then these great sages like this, Vishwamitra, Vasishta, all of them, they were so transformed and they went and they prayed to Krishna to give them this pure devotion service. So what to speak of Krishna's kindness? Even the punishments that Krishna awards are full of mercy and they are full of worthy of praise. Just let's take the case of Kamsa. Should we go through this or the different punishments, because it's time up and I was quite slow today. So maybe we can go through the punishments that Krishna gave to different demons and how he was merciful in each of the punishments that he gave. Like, you know, where we will discuss the case of Kamsa, we will discuss the case of Aghasura, Kalia and all the kings that Krishna was fighting with, Paundraka and others. We'll discuss all of that in detail and then we'll see what Narada spoke further in our next session, because it's almost time up now. So if anyone has any questions, comments, we can go ahead. Or if you want me to discuss this case of giving mercy to demons, we can finish that and then stop. So can anyone suggest what we should do?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If it can end up in 15-20 minutes, then I think so you should cover that.
Yeah, 10 minutes we'll finish. We'll finish at 11.
Good.
Okay, yeah. Okay, then I'll continue so that, you know, we don't lose the flow in our next session. Okay. So, Narada Muni said, what to talk of kindness? Even the punishments that Krishna awarded, it was full of mercy and worthy of praise. Take the case of Kamsa. So what did Kamsa do? While sitting on his throne, while sitting in his room, while lying on his bed, indeed wherever he was situated, when he was eating or when he was sleeping or he was walking, Kamsa, everywhere he saw Krishna, everywhere he saw his enemy, the Supreme Lord Hrishikesha. In other words, by thinking of this all-pervading enemy, Krishna, Kamsa actually became unfavorably Krishna conscious. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 10 to 24. So Krishna, Kamsa, he became unfavorably Krishna conscious because he was seeing Krishna everywhere, thinking that Krishna is his enemy. And when Kamsa left his body, how did he leave his body? He was actually dragged down by Krishna into the arena, onto the fighting arena, and Krishna jumped on his chest and pressed him down. And that is when Kamsa left his body. So when Kamsa left his body, he could feel Krishna's lotus feet on his chest when he left his body. And his eyes were seeing Krishna's lotus face. What a glorious death. And after his death, what did Krishna do? He arranged for a royal funeral, you know, to take care of Kamsa's body. He arranged for a royal funeral, and this funeral was actually attended by Yadu princes, by the cowherds of Raja, and Krishna himself led the procession. So Krishna, what did he do after that? He consoled Kamsa's widows and he reinstated Kamsa's father, Ugrasena, as the king. So much mercy he gave. Kamsa saw the form of the Lord and he left his body. Many other demons, like the wrestlers in the arena of Kamsa, Jarasandha, so many other kings, they have all received Krishna's mercy in so many ways. The wrestlers like Mushtika Chanura, who wrestled with Krishna, they were so much favored by Krishna because they were able to embrace Krishna's body. This wrestling was very similar to the wrestling that the cowherd boys of Vrindavan would have. The cowherd boys of Vrindavan, they would enjoy mock fights with Krishna. Just imagine this Mushtika Chanura, who are they? They were after all wrestlers who were sent by Kamsa. They enjoyed such fights. They enjoyed embracing the transcendental form of Krishna. So much mercy. Jarasandha was also favored ultimately by the Lord because he was killed by Bhima, who was Krishna's associates. Paundraka and other kings, they also similarly, so many of them, they all received very, very similar mercy given by Krishna. This is also claimed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll read that verse. Inimical kings like Sishupala, Paundraka, Shalva were always thinking about Krishna. Even when they were lying down, sitting or engaging in other activities, they enviously meditated on the bodily movements of the Lord, his sporting pastimes, his loving glances upon his devotees and other attractive features displayed by the Lord. Being thus always absorbed in Krishna, they achieved spiritual liberation in the Lord's own abode. What then can be said of the benedictions offered to those who constantly fix their minds on Krishna in a favorable, loving mood? So this is again the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. More than these kings, actually, yes, many kings who fought with Krishna, they were all favored by the Lord. But then more than the kings, actually the demons of Vrindavan, they attained more mercy because their contact with Krishna was even more sweeter in one sense, because they were in Vrindavan Dham and they were associating very closely with the Lord, the demons of Vrindavan. They are actually greater recipients of mercy. We know the story of Kalia. Srimad Bhagavatam says, this is Canto 10, verse 1636, it says, O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kalia has attained his great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing so many austere vows. So this was the mercy that Kalia received. Kalia, he came with an envious nature, right? He came and he was poisoning the pond that was there near Yamuna. He was poisoning that entire place, that small lake. But then, what happened in the case of Kalia? Krishna danced on his hooves and Kalia received the dust of the lotus feet that is being hankered by so many people. Even the goddess of fortune has performed austerities for centuries. She's been observing great vows to receive this. So that was the mercy of the demons of Vrindavan. So Kalia, he received the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. What to talk of Kalia? Think of Putana. How did Putana enter Gokul? She wanted to kill Krishna. What did Krishna do? Krishna placed his feet on her and he sucked her breasts, like how he would, you know, honor his own mother. And what was the destination that she finally attained? This is the one of the most famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.2.23. Aho Bakiyam, that verse. Alas, how shall I take shelter of the one who is more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to the she-demon Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. After she died, her body became a playground for Krishna to play in. And when Putana's body was burnt, it was smelling like aguru's scent because Krishna had sucked her breasts. That was the mercy. And what was her destination? She became a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. She attained the position of a mother. That is the mercy that Krishna gave. What to speak of Nala Kuvera, the sons of Kuvera, who were cursed to stand as trees for thousands of years. They were released from their curse and they were given Prema Bhakti. Agasura, he appeared as a python. And he was actually very blessed because Krishna entered his entire body and purified it. And later, after this pastime was over, after he was killed, Agasura's body dried up and his body served as an attraction for the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So the body of Agasura was serving as for entertainment purposes in Vrindavan. Therefore, Agasura was blessed and he attained Sarupya Mukti. How many demons get Sarupya Mukti? Krishna can do even this. He can give a demon the position of a nurse. He can give a demon Sarupya Mukti. He can do anything. He can not only avoid impersonal liberation, he can even do these things. That is the speciality of Krishna. Krishna sometimes punished his devotees. Not only did he punish demons, but sometimes he would even punish his own most exalted devotees like the gopis of Vrindavan. Like how he did to the gopis when he left them in the middle of the rasa dance. Why did he do that? Why did he punish the gopis? He can punish demons. He can give them this impersonal liberation. He can do all that. But why should he punish the gopis of Vrindavan? Krishna specifically did that. He did that just to increase their love for him further. That is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam says, 10 to 10 verses 32, 20 to 22 I will read, because these are very beautiful verses from this chapter of the Rasalina. I will just talk about these three verses. Krishna, he left the gopis in the middle of the rasa dance and the gopis were frantically searching for Krishna. Why did Krishna have to punish them? These three verses talk about that. Krishna says, verse 20, 10, 32, 20, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings towards me, your beloved. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are so difficult to break. Therefore, please, let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. So while, Krishna was telling the gopis, yes, once in a while it appears that I am punishing you by keeping myself away from you. But that is not a punishment. I am just doing it to increase your love, to intensify your loving devotion. So that you become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it. Just imagine the intensity with which they will be hankering it. So therefore you can become more and more and more anxious to see me. And you can just think of me and nothing else. I do this so that the love for me that you already have becomes more intensified. So whatever Krishna did, whether he killed the demons or whether he fought with the kings or whether he left the gopis in the middle of the rasa dance. He always did everything to give more mercy and to intensify the love of his devotees. So this is the mood and the speciality of Krishna. So like this Narada Muni, he continued to recite the glories of Krishna like this. And as he went on like this, non-stop talking about the glories of Krishna, he stopped and he instructed his own tongue, saying, "Oh my tongue, you're so greedy to chant the glories of Madhava." And he seized his tongue with his teeth and he stopped chanting the glories. He said, "What am I trying to do? I am trying to chant the glories of the Lord with this tongue? Brahma with his four tongues is not able to chant the glories of the Lord. Ananta Sesh with his thousands of hoods, he has failed to describe the glories of the Lord. How can I, with this one tongue, sufficiently chant the Lord?" So he seized his tongue, and then we will see what happened after that, what he further instructed the Pandavas. So we'll stop here. Thank you so much for your attention. Hare Krishna. Any corrections, comments, realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Such a beautiful class as usual, full of nectar. Thank you so much. And thank you for sparing time. You know, you are still on vacation, but still you took out time for us so that you can speak on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So thank you so much, Mataji. I have two questions related in the first part of your class, the way you started and of course the way you ended. Both the parts I have questions related. So you started when Narada Muni went to Hastinapur to see Pandavas. So at that time, the war of Kurukshetra was over?
Yes.
So after the war of Kurukshetra, also Yudhishthira Maharaj performed some yajna?
No, he actually did have...
Mataji, the voice is echoing.
Okay. Yeah. So he actually didn't have to do any yajna, but he was thinking how to call Krishna somehow or the other. So he was thinking, just now he did all these huge yajnas and all that. And he was thinking, if I do one more yajna, maybe Krishna will come and give more of his time. So like this, he was scheming. They were just scheming. They were not actually planning to do a yajna, but discussing, maybe if we do another yajna, Krishna will come and stay with us longer. But actually they didn't do that. They were just talking like that when Narada was entering. Hari Bol?
Yeah, okay, Mataji. Thank you so much. And my next question is that why Narada Muni sees his tongue? Because even though he had this thing that, yes, Ananta Shesh could not describe and my father Brahma could not describe, but still, you know, glorification of Lord, when it's there, what's the point of stopping, you know? Like, what's the mood? What should we imbibe from it? That's what my question is.
And, no, it was more like he was thinking that he was going on and on without stopping. He had to speak other subject matters, and once you speak the glories of the Lord, you can never stop, right? It goes on and on. So there is no end to the glories of the Lord. That's what Narada was trying to imply. So if I start talking, I'm going to go on for days. So he was trying to control himself to stop and then go ahead with the further talk that he wanted to tell Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because initially he started off with the glorification of Yudhishthira and his brothers, and then he got so diverted and he began to talk only about the glories of the Lord, his worship of the Lord. So he was completely engrossed in that, and then he just decided, okay, let me stop now and let me go ahead with the next part of my talk, like that.
Thank you so much. And another question, you know, then probably others can go over. You said about the plants and the trees of Hastinapur. Maybe I missed and like what you want to make us understand. So if you can just repeat that, how they are liberated.
Yeah. So the plants and the trees of Hastinapur, when Krishna used to visit Hastinapur and he would glance even at the plants and the trees, what happened was, generally plants and trees are considered to be in the mode of ignorance because they are completely covered, right? By the mode of ignorance, and they lose their senses, and you know, they are not in a high platform. But when Krishna used to glance on these plants and trees, immediately they would be raised to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, and they would exhibit ecstasies, like how when you know, when someone is exhibiting ecstasies of love, how they exhibit it is by hair standing on end, by tears flowing from their eyes, right? So like that, these plants and trees, when Krishna used to glance at them, the sap would start flowing from the bark of their tree. They would be raised to that platform just by the glance of the Lord. But then the same formula don't apply to the trees of Vrindavan, because Vrindavan trees are already in that mode. So they don't have to become uncovered. You know, we are eternally in that mode. Like they're all Kalpavriksha trees. So therefore, Sanatan Goswami, he specifically says only about Hastinapur, and then he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam a verse that talks about Krishna's glancing on the plants and trees of Hastinapur. I think this comes in Prayers of Kunti. I should look up. I don't know which verse number I wrote down. Yeah.
No, okay. Okay, Mataji.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.
Thank you
once again for the time and beautiful answer.
Thank you, Mataji. I think that was in second canto. I don't know whether exact verse number that talks about the Hastinapur trees being receiving mercy by the glance of the Lord.
Yeah. That's okay, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yeah, it's in Kunti's prayers.
Okay, perfect.
And I have one question or comment, whatever you say, I don't know. But like you were describing about how, about the, in the, from the Rasa Leela, Krishna disappears. Huh. And then when he comes back, he says to him, so Krishna says, please don't have an ill feeling toward me, because what I did is just to increase more of your attachment to me. So that reminded me of Narad Muni's past and previous lives, pastimes. So he was meditating, and then Lord appeared to him, and he was so happy. And then Lord disappeared. Then he tried to again to he was doing again whatever he did before, but Lord did not appear. But then Lord said, you know, in a sound representation, he came in a sound vibration, that because in this life you will not be able to see me, but just to increase your intensity to attain me, I have given you the darshan. So that reminds me of that.
Oh, amazing connection, Mataji. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Amazing, amazing connection. Thank you, Mataji.
Very wonderful task and a very wonderful katha, narration. If there is no equivalent in English for the katha, so I just say katha.
Yeah, katha, yeah. Yeah, it's not a story anyway, it's reality, so it's
katha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or comments for Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Janmasalam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Jamal. Mataji, when Kansa had such a glorious death by the feet of Lord Krishna falling on his chest, so is it that Kansa had done some pious activities in his past life that he had got this type of liberation?
Yeah, Kamsa was Kalanemi in his previous birth, and that time also he was killed by the form of the Lord only. And then he was reincarnated as Kamsa. So you see that he was also a demon, even in his previous life, but then he always had this constant enmity towards the Lord, and he always fought with the Lord.
Right, okay. Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Pranav, pranav. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji.
Your voice is gone.
Yes, Mataji, I don't know what happened. Suddenly it's that gone.
Thank you so much, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your services. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for coming.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dhanna Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji. A beautiful class.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Andavats Mataji. Thank you so much.
Lassini Gopi, Dandvatam, Silla Prabhupada, Silla Gopi, Ji, Jai. As usual, very negative class. I am not saying that Nanima is telling story. We learn so many things. Each and every lecture from Mataji, we learn so many points from you. So many things. We are hearing the same story, but still. When we hear again and again, then the nectar is, more and more nectar is coming from that Katha Mataji. Thank you very much. How nicely you are narrating Narad Muni's pastime. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki
jai. More and more reachable.
Hare Krishna, Sita Vinasne Mataji. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I'd like to also, again, my compliments again about wonderful class. You know, what's really interesting is that when you tell a story, it's not just Brihad Bhagavatamrita, or it's not, there's so many different dimensions of the story as you go on. You just keep, it's almost like we keep digging for more treasure and we find more and more. So I just love the way you tell the story because of all the connections that we see. And it makes us much much more eager to read Srimad Bhagavatam and to really relish the different verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that we, as we're reading the pastimes of the Lord through the Srimad Bhagavatam verses. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Praneshwari Mataji. That's so true in the sense that when we read the scripture, Bhagavatamrita, we tend to appreciate Bhagavatam in a much better fashion. Like how even Vrinda Gopika Mataji was telling, this Harikatha reveals newer and newer things every time. And every time we read this, like we go through Bhagavatamrita, we feel, oh, there is so much in the Bhagavatam. And then Bhagavatam reveals to us in newer ways. So it's really, really wonderful. Yeah. Our Acharya, they are so wonderful. Sanatan Goswami, he's connected so many things from the Bhagavatam. It is so nice and it's so enlivening to see all this. And then we begin to appreciate scripture in a much better fashion when we hear from these Acharyas, right? It's really beautiful. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, it makes us much, I think for me especially, much more appreciative and grateful and up to Srila Prabhupada. Because just think, if he weren't here, we would have none of this.
None of it, yeah. None.
That's true.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Divya Manjari Mataji. It is so nice to hear your voice. Thanks for coming on the call.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Dandavat Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Yes. There's a couple of things I didn't quite catch. One was, what was the connection that Mother Komodagi was making between the fact that Narada Muni, when he wanted to see the Lord again, and something else. What was that connection that she just made?
So she was making a connection between the Krishna telling the gopis that I separated from you to intensify your love for me. And how the Lord appeared in the heart of Narada Muni and then he disappeared. And Narada was rushing after the vision, and then the Lord told him that after this birth, you'll be able to see me.
Yeah, so in that way he increased the desire in both the gopis and Narada.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a nice connection. Also, one more thing I didn't catch was you said that, what was that very famous verse in relationship to Putana?
Yeah, so that is the verse, Aho Bakiyam. I'll read the verse. It is, Aho Bakiyam Sanakala Kutam Jigam Sayayat Yapa, sorry, Jigam Sayapaya Yadapiya Sadvi Lebe Gatim Datri Uchitam Tatonyam Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Rajima. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to the she-demon Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Uddhava. Is that correct, Mataji?
Yes, yeah, Uddhava.
Uddhava, yeah. Who's talking?
Mm-hmm. And do you recall the verse number?
It is 3223.
Oh, 3-2, well, very easy to remember. 3-2-23.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for class, Madhavi. Always a wonderful storyteller. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna.
We have one realization from Supriya Mataji, which I will read. She has sent it as a text because she had to drop off. So she says, my realization is, if we are associated with friendship or enmity with the Lord, not only with the Lord, but with his associates also, one will be liberated. Thanks again. Very nice. Very, very
And one more point, Priti, I want to add that, especially me, such a Buddhist, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, Vaishnavi, that never read, very ideal to read all the scriptures. And when we hear from the Vaishnava, then Mataji, the nectar is coming more and more, and we think that how fallen I am, that not reading and not given access, not preaching. And I just opened the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because of you only, Mataji.
Vrinda Gopika Mataji, all glories to you. We know how much effort you take. I know you run WhatsApp groups and you preach regularly. So you're actually a very big source of inspiration for all of us. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for all that you do.
Dhanvat Pranam Mataji for your seva, Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you.
If nobody have any question, we can end the call here.
Sure, Mataji.
Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu
bhyai vacha patitanam bhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Vaishnava.